And this is Talking Pictures, our weekly review of movies and film. I'm Hollis Monroe. Joining me once again, Professor Film Encyclopedia Brown, the remarkable Mr. Ron Atkins. Film, you've seen the latest from M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, this is old, and this is the most recent of the Shyamalan works, okay, written and directed by him. And he has a mixed track record, okay, and I went in hoping that he would be sort of on the positive side of the ledger.
Like The Sixth Sense, for
The Sixth Sense, to me, is still one of the best films that he has done. I mean, he's known for that Shyamalan twist. Everything has to have that O. Henry or Rod Serling type of yes. Twilight Zone-y type of thing. Like, I set up a premise, and then it twists on a dime at the end, and then you look back at everything that you've seen, and you go, oh, yeah, I see it differently.
Yeah, I see the clues.
Right. Now, this is based or inspired by a graphic novel called Sandcastle, okay, that was done by Levy and Peters. And they had the premise, and the premise is used in here, is a group of people who find themselves on a beach and they are rapidly aging. And not only all of the things that would happen in your life happen with basically in a 24-hour period. So they go through diseases, they go through all aspects of life, birth, death, etc. So the premise is interesting. I find that to be kind of a nice thing to build upon. I'm not going to be able to talk. I'm going to twist myself a little bit in some pretzels talking about this because I can't really go too far into what happens plot-wise in the film. Mm-hmm. But you know that it's going to have that twist. And what he has done here is he takes a premise that really works, I think, nicely, this idea of the mystery, okay? It's like, why are these people growing old? What's going on? And they're questioning things, and they're starting to, sort of a cliched way in the film anyway, of saying, oh, time is fleeting. You gotta grab the time as you can because it's
carpe
going.
Diem.
Right, it's going away uh-huh. real fast, like, because every time that we cut in the film, I'm an older guy, okay? So Shyamalan to me is a guy who doesn't trust mystery. He doesn't trust the idea that we can deal with the unanswerable. He has to slap an ending onto this thing that it comes out of left field, as far as I'm concerned. It was interesting. When I was driving in to watch it, I'm thinking, okay, what other films to me about people who go off into wilderness places and come out changed? Well, the film that came to my mind was Picnic at Hanging Rock. Well, I went in and did some research on it. It turns out that he screened Picnic at Hanging Rock to his crew and to his cast before they started working on the film.
Oh.
So it's there. But you know, in Picnic, right, we are never given the answer. We don't know about the girls. Okay, what happened at Picnic Rock? Here, we do. We find out what it all means. And it just rubs me the wrong way. I wish that Shyamalan would go out on a limb and say, hey, I'm going to trust the idea of the fantastic, meaning that we don't know. We're on either side. We don't know. Now, the film brings us up to a certain point, and I'm like, that's a great place to end it, M. Night. Do that. End right there. But he can't. He has to then move on to sort of what? Rationalize. Because really he's a rationalizer of mystery to a certain extent. It reminds me of the slapped-on ending of Psycho, you know, having the psychiatrist explain the whole business of mother and son. Though the issue with Hitchcock is it's sort of ironic. Do we trust what the shrink really says? Okay. Here, the way Shyamalan lays it out, yes, we trust that that is what happens. And it just really bogs me down. Now, there are some things I like about the film. I don't want to, okay, that first two-thirds as I'm watching, I'm going, okay, please do not give me a twist. Please don't give me a twist. I'm like, it's working good. Don't coming up to the edge. And then wham, I get it. It's like, hey. Heck, you're ruining the darn thing. Cinematography, the camera work is fantastic in this film. I have not seen any frames from the graphic novel. I'm not sure if he's trying to replicate some of that. But great shots, fragmented faces, great camera work that wanders around and things like that. I enjoyed that a lot. The Shyamalan plays a major, he's an actor, he's in this film, and he plays a major part. I can't get into what that's about because I'd like to talk about the sort of the irony of the part that he plays in this because it kind of fits. Now, I wish, okay, if this film is about fast forwarding through life At certain points, I just wish, give me a fast forward button on this film so I can get through it quicker. Right. Because it just, I have a mixed mind. So I say 2/3, if you want to stop watching, say leave at this point, okay, then you'll be good. But otherwise, finish it off. Now, you might like that twist. You might think that twist is cool. Okay, so who am I to judge what it is if the twist works for you? It might be great, but to me it did not work. It cheapened it.
Hmm. It sounds like he doesn't trust his audience, is right. What it comes down to. Now, I can understand that at one time, like back in the 40s and the 50s, we were speaking earlier about the early days of television and other things, that audiences needed a type of closure. I look back at the original film, The Bad Seed, where they wound up shooting 3 endings because they had to keep adding another ending onto it because the audiences were either horrified or completely unsatisfied with how they wrapped up the film.
Mm-hmm.
I think that modern audiences, quote unquote, I think that they can not only handle that, but actually respect it, and they would like to leave thinking about what it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, what it could have been, okay, or what it is, or wondering that, wow, you're going to end me there? I mean, I remember, the thing with Picnic and Hanging Rock is when it ends, you're like, what? Whoa. You know, and then the 70s was a heyday for open-ended type of films.
Yes.
Well, the narratives. Here, Shyamalan really works within that classical Hollywood structure. You know, I got to have that closed ending because I'm afraid of uncertainty.
Exactly. The uncertainty of how the audience will react.
Right. And I think he should just cut the string or release it in 2 different versions. And say, hey, I got this one for you guys and this one for you guys. I'm going to pick the one that is open-ended.
All right. Thank you much. Ron, you have a new one for us. Not new, but...
It's new-ish. It's a movie called Priceless. It's a really nice independent film. It was originally released theatrically in Australia in 2016 and is just now getting a Blu-ray DVD release. And it's had some limited... engagements in the United States. The pandemic, of course, really kind of hobbled a lot of indie films, but it's a beautiful film. I've become quite a fan of a Christian rock group called For King and Country. They're kind of Christian rock's version of U2, and I'm a huge fan of U2, so I'll check anything like that. But it's a story based on true events about the main character's name is James, and he has sunk low in his life. He's lost family members. His daughter has been taken away from him and given to a family member to take care of. And he just keeps kind of spiraling down and down. You don't see a whole lot of the reasons why, but you see the main consequences where he's willing to take a risk. He needs fast cash really quick. So he takes this job driving like a U-Haul sized truck across the country. No questions asked, and the cargo bay is locked. And everywhere he stops along, like the Southwest, he's looked on with suspicion. And everybody says, "Why don't you get that truck out of here?" Oh, so what's in the back of your truck? And he's like, "What is the problem with me driving a truck across the country?" And he knows he's probably doing something really hinky. But anyway, he's driving at night, and he falls asleep at the wheel. And he runs off the road. He doesn't wreck the truck, but he can hear crying in the back. So he pries open the hatch, and there's 2 young women in there. And he realizes, oh, for crying out loud, what have I done? And so he brings them up front, and he starts to take care of them. But when he gets to the destination, the women's handlers are already there. So they pay him off. They take the women. They think they're going to the promised land. They think they're going to get great jobs in America. And then you see him. It kind of splits between James wondering, what did I do? I know exactly what's going to happen. And the 2 girls who are suddenly getting this realization that they're being sold into slavery in the United States. They're part of the trafficking movement, and they're going to become prostitutes. And so James decides that he's absolutely bound and determined to fix what he did and get them back and rescue them. And with the help of a very kindly man who runs a motel, he works very hard and, makes contact. And the ending isn't totally happy, which I really appreciate, especially since it's kind of a Christian-oriented film. Again, kind of the open-endedness to a degree, but not everybody comes out unscathed. And what I really enjoy about it, I've seen a lot of like Christian films, like, you know, Frank Peretti has done a couple of thrillers and things. There's always that really heavy message on top of it.
Right.
There's a message, there's a ribbon running through that is really empowering, but it doesn't overtake the film. Because the focus of the film is to look upon the problem of human trafficking and what the normal human being can do. You know, it's a problem that is going to have to be dealt with in small chunks. Joel Smallbone is the lead, and he is one of the lead singers for King and Country. The film is produced by Ben Smallbone, his brother, and one of the producers is Luke Smallbone. It's a huge family affair. I kind of like six Smallbones in this film. And Luke Smallbone is one of the producers, and he's the other guy in the band. But it's got some star power. It's Bianca Santos, who has been in a lot of indie films and does guest spots on television. Jim Perrick, who starred in Suicide Squad, and he was in True Blood. And again, he's guested on a lot of high-profile films. There are some strong scenes and some strong gun violence, and not a completely happy ending, but it's a really gripping kind of... There's a lot going on in the silence of this film. It's not completely dialogue driven, and there is a mystery to it. You know, what's going on, you know, when that's revealed, what's going to happen next. And it's I think a very well acted film, very well produced. And if you get the chance and you want something that's going to make you feel empowered but also make you a little bit more socially conscious, Priceless is a great film.
All right, thank you very much. Folks, we want to know what you're watching. Tell us what you're giving thumbs up or thumbs down. Our email address is talkingpics@kcck.org. For Professor Film Brown and the remarkable Ron Atkins, I'm Hollis Monroe on Jazz 88.3 KCCK.